John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drop?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. Israeli troops injure a Palestinian civilian in southern West Bank and demolish homes in East Jerusalem. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinian medical sources reported on Monday night that one youth was moderately injured after being rammed by an Israeli military jeep in Za'atara village south of the West Bank city of Bethlehem. The young man, identified as Khalifa Muhammad Mahmid, 23, suffered several fractures and bruises to various parts of his body. He was moved by a Palestinian ambulance to the Arab Society Hospital and Rehabilitation Center in Bethlehem city. On Tuesday morning, Israeli soldiers invaded the town of Beit Hanina in occupied East Jerusalem and demolished a home for a Palestinian, leaving its members in the cold. Local news sources reported that several Israeli military jeeps and bulldozers of the Jerusalem municipality invaded the area and demolished a shed under the pretext that it was installed without a permit. The attack was carried out at dawn. The soldiers surrounded the shed and told the six family members that they have 10 minutes to leave the shed before the army demolished it. The family left its home and the soldiers demolished it without allowing them to collect their belongings before demolishing it. Also on Tuesday, Israeli soldiers handed 10 Palestinian families in the northern plain area of the West Bank military orders informing them that the army intends to demolish their homes. Arif Daragma, head of the local council of Wadi al-Malih area and the Bedouin tribes, stated that the army intends to remove the residents, their tents and structures in Al-Hammamat and Ain al-Hilwa areas. Elsewhere, Israeli soldiers invaded Sebastia town near the northern West Bank city of Nablus and handed several residents military orders demanding them to demolish structures built in their town and property. Rida Rizik, one of the residents who was handed the demolishing orders for his two-story building, stated that the army and employees of the construction and planning committee invaded the town and handed him an order demanding him to demolish his restaurant under the pretext that it was built without a construction permit. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, February 5th News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
Afghanistan, 1st of February. A detainee alleged to be a member of the Taliban seized a gun from one of his jailers and opened fire, killing two policemen. Afghanistan, 3rd of February. A family of five was killed by a roadside bomb. Nobody has claimed the attack, and nobody knows if they were the intended target of the bomb. Pakistan, 3rd of February. Insurgents assaulted a base of the Pakistani army, killing 13 soldiers and 10 people claimed to be civilians at the expense of 12 insurgent casualties. Turkey, 1st of February. A suicide bomber attacked a U.S. embassy, killing one security guard and blowing open the entrance. Texas, United States, 2nd of February. A former U.S. Navy SEAL sniper known as the Devil of Ramadi for killing over 160 Iraqi resistance fighters was killed on a Texas gun range by one of his own former friends. Iraqis had placed a $20,000 bounty on his head. Some reports claim the bounty to be as much as $80,000. No word on whether the man arrested for the shooting can attempt to claim the bounty. Kirkuk, Iraq, 3rd of February. A suicide attack on a police station killed 30 people and wounded 70. The bombing was the outcome or part of a failed attempt to storm the compound. Nobody has claimed responsibility. Baghdad, Iraq, 5th of February. 22 members of the Sawa, or Awakening Militias, were killed by a suicide bomber who mingled with them as they were collecting their paychecks north of the city. The Sawa, or Awakening Fighters, are former insurgents who switched sides to support the U.S. in 2007 and are regarded by many as traitors for doing so. Mr. Barack Obama, your war in Afghanistan has become as big a failure as George W. Bush's war in Iraq. Don't wait until the end of the year. Now's the time to pull the plug. Bring all the troops and all of the drones home today. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. On the 4th of February, 2012, the U.S. Park Police violently raided Occupy D.C. after Congressman Daryl Issa held his hearings on Occupy. It is widely believed that Daryl Issa's hearing was held at the request of D.C. Mayor Gray, who in turn no doubt was acting at the request of K Street lobbyists and business owners. On the morning of the 5th of February, 2013, most of the fences closing off portions of McPherson Square since shortly after the raid were down. Some were rolled up, others just flattened on the ground. No word on whether the Park Service has decided to remove this ugly symbol of armed repression, or whether the fences were taken down by Occupy activists in a punitive counter-raid on the one-year anniversary of the police raid. Photographs are inconclusive as to whether Park Service workers or vengeful occupiers took down the fence. It is still present, but in some cases rolled up, in other cases flat on the ground. Heard of the so-called Fix the Debt Coalition. What they actually are is an organization of CEOs of major corporations doing everything they can to make sure no federal budget that raises taxes on the rich is ever passed. They have more in common with Grover Norquist, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, or the Club for Growth than with any real grassroots organization. They would rather stop sending out Social Security and Medicaid checks than pay more taxes on the huge salaries and bonuses they earn as the CEOs of corporations such as Walmart. Yes, Walmart is a board member of Fix the Debt. On the 30th of January, hundreds of protesters organized by RDC stormed Fix the Debt's DC headquarters.
You know, we don't know if this is working, if they can hear us, so we might just need to pay a visit. What do you think?
Yeah.
We might need to pay them a little visit.
Yeah.
So we can go upstairs and we'll come back with a report back. We're going to see how they feel about us coming, because they're not coming down. So we're going to go up, pay them a quick visit, and we'll be down short.
Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt.
It wasn't just a few people going upstairs. It was hundreds of people storming into the lobby of the building. They were chanting, "Stop the greed at Fix the Debt." Earlier, one of the speakers outside explained exactly who would benefit from the political program that Fix the Debt is pushing.
If Congress approves the Fix the Debt main proposal, which is a territorial tax refund, GE, General Electric, and Microsoft will stand to gain the deal of the century. They gain to win $37 billion for GE. And Microsoft would gain $19.4 million in tax cuts. Yes, that is billions of dollars.
They are now exposed.
Yep.
This is just the beginning. We shall continue the onslaught. We shall continue to let our voices be heard. Once again, that's federal money. That's your money. That's our money. This guy, Peter Peterson, the billionaire, he put together a group of people that consists of over 90 corporate officers, former elected officials, Republican and Democrat. They got offshore accounts that they don't pay taxes on. They want to bring the money back to the states. They don't pay taxes.
Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and
fix the debt! Stop the greed and fix the debt! Okay, now we know just who and what Fix the Debt is. The question is this: are we stupid enough to buy into their voodoo economics? Dumb enough to think that letting CEOs keep more money will ever mean lower prices or higher wages for the rest of us? I don't think so.
We'll be back.
On the 4th of February, a woman named Elizabeth Leger locked her neck to construction machinery being used to build the southern leg of the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline. At 7:30 a.m., welders arrived in a bus, but neither they nor any other of the workers who were arriving were able to do anything so long as she was locked to a key piece of their equipment. It took an hour for a sheriff's deputy to show up. Elizabeth told him she would not unlock herself. By 9:45 a.m., 20 people were present in a support rally, and it took until nearly 1 p.m. for police to cut her locks and remove her. In other words, one direct action protester plus 20 people in support were able to halt construction of the southern leg of the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline in Oklahoma for over half of a workday. Elizabeth Leger carried out this action working with Great Plains Tar Sands Resistance, a new group opposing construction of the Keystone XL Tar Sands Pipeline. Currently, TransCanada is attempting to construct the southern leg of the pipeline in Texas and Oklahoma. They are using ruthless eminent domain to steal farmers' and ranchers' lands, and in return have seen landowners join with pro-Earth activists to forcibly impede construction. In a recent lawsuit filed by TransCanada for purposes of harassment, they claim to have absorbed $5 million in losses caused by the month-long Texas tree sit that forced them to permanently divert the pipeline around the area the tree sitters defended. Surely TransCanada cannot survive 1,500 miles of this kind of resistance. Not only that, the resistance is spreading.
Also on the 4th of February, members of the Akar and Shura tribes of the Amazon rainforest, backed up by Tarzan's blockade, invaded and severely disrupted an attempt by the government of Ecuador to auction off oil rights on indigenous land to multinational oil companies at the Westin Hotel in Houston. Jamie Varga, one of the indigenous leaders, had this to say: "For us, the indigenous people, the rainforest is life. There we are in touch with everything. But for the powerful capitalist and materialist, it is seen as a business market, a money market for power and capital. But for us, it is the market of life because we find everything there. Our pharmacy, our goods, our education, our science, our knowledge, our force, our creator, are all found in the life of the jungle." Narkisa Machienta of the Shar indigenous tribe had this to say, quote, "As indigenous women, we are mothers, fighters, nurturers of the natural world. We can feel when the earth can no longer reproduce. We are part of the life of the jungle and defenders of the life within it." That makes two major actions against dirty oil stolen from Native American land in just one day. TransCanada's dirty pipeline, the filthy Alberta tar sands mines, and TransCanada's land-grabbing ways are all familiar to anyone who knows the history of 520 years of occupation of Turtle Island. The same is true for the behavior of the rest of the oil companies, who never seem to hesitate to bid on oil stolen from indigenous land. Now the time has come for this to end.
Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. All red, everything. Everything's red. Everything's red. 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 Dead. Red. Dead. Red. First off, I send love to Lupe for giving us hope in this Lakota Sioux way. All red, everything, red nation rising. Revising our story, they're televising. Child of the plains, I see 2020. Poverty porn, TV pimpers for money. Tell Diane Sawyer, I am a warrior. Give me your camera, send pal to your lawyer. Free all my people, get them out of prison. Take them to Sundance, show them how we're living. Give youth an outlet, disadvantaged prodigies. Feed these Republicans all our commodities. Put them on the reds. From the day they're born, they won't survive cause their cancer is airborne. Put them in our schools, put them in our shoes. Take away their money and give them our booze. Red, make everything red. Words of my ancestors up in my head. Food for thought, our kids underfed. Your oil is mud, they want the earth dead. Oil for blood, oil for blood. Making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, oil for blood. My mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red. I can't afford to leave the reds. Government has got me trapped. The leadership need a tip. And most of my tribal leaders whack. They don't wanna hear that. They just wanna chill. I'm sick, I'll go to IHS and get a pill. For real? Like a song without a title. Feel forgotten, like slaves picking the cotton. Forever tribal, with no connection to the Bible. Flying, people rotting, sometimes I'm suicidal. Feeling like no exit, generation ain't shit. Text mentioning sex, what I connect with. Technology, get this world to acknowledge me. My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Like the philosophy, keep them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil. Oil for blood, oil for blood. Making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, oil for blood. My mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, 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 dead. Red, dead. Red.
Uh-uh. The Portland Pipeline Corporation says it has no plans to reverse the flow of an oil pipeline to transport Canadian tar sands oil to Portland, Maine's harbor for export. But despite the company's public denial, about 1,000 Maine residents, joined by activists from all over New England and Canada, rallied on Saturday, January 26th at Portland Harbor to put their concerns about that very possibility on the map. The action was supported by local and national environmental groups, including 350.org, the Sierra Club, the Natural Resources Defense Council, Environment Maine, and the Natural Resource Council of Maine. There's growing opposition to the extraction of tar sands oil because it produces far more greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming than conventional production methods. Enbridge, the Canadian company responsible for spilling almost 1 million gallons of tar sands oil in the Kalamazoo River in Michigan in 2010, has applied for a permit from the Canadian National Energy Board to reverse the flow of its Line 9 pipeline from Midwest U.S. states to Montreal, declaring it might transport heavy crude oil. Environmentalists fear that the pipeline will eventually bring tar sands from the province of Alberta in the west to eastern Canada, where it could connect with an existing pipeline that runs from Montreal to Portland. That 236-mile-long pipeline already has a presidential permit allowing it to cross an international border, but the permit makes no mention of tar sands. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus was in Portland during the January 26 march and rally and files this report featuring some of the voices of protest activists. We first hear from Portlander Jason Wentworth, who came to the rally with his daughter by bike.
We don't want your dirty oil. Leave the tar sands in the soil.
We don't want your dirty oil.
We just took a tube that's about 8 inches in diameter and made up a little sign on it that says no tar sands and mounted it on her bike stroller. And it was actually her idea to do something like a pipe. And she was quite excited about riding in it. The cold has taken away a little bit of her excitement, but she's still into it. I'm here to be with the rest of the people who are here in support of a petroleum-free future, if you will. And the tar sands are a particular concern here in Maine because we've got a pipeline that ExxonMobil wants to use to bring them through to our port. And that pipeline is way too old to handle this kind of material. And if there were ever a spill, a leak in the pipe, it could really cause a problem for our environment in Maine. So that's an immediate concern, and then the big concern is that my daughter, who's 5 and a half, needs to have a future, and we won't have a future on this planet if we burn all the tar sands that are in Alberta.
There's a 62-year-old pipeline running from here to Montreal, where it connects to more pipelines across Quebec and Ontario.
Dylan Voorhees works with the Natural Resources Council of Maine.
Right now, it carries regular crude oil north and west, but Alberta, sitting on a mountain of tar sands buried under the forests and the soils, and they're digging it out and they're putting it in dump trucks the size of your house.
Yeah!
The big oil companies want to get that tar sands out of Alberta to global energy markets, and that means getting it onto tankers. And the only thing standing in their way is us. A lot of states, a lot of provinces, they're trying to get it down Keystone to the Gulf. They're trying to get it across British Columbia to the Pacific. And they want to try and send it through this pipeline and reverse the flow down to Portland. The pipeline company is still saying they don't have an active plan to send tar sands through Maine. Just like I don't have an active plan for dinner yet tonight.
Emily Figdor is Executive Director of Environment Maine.
The presidential permit allows them to transport oil across the international border, but it says nothing, nothing about tar sands oil. And that gives President Obama and his State Department, which is soon to be run by Senator John Kerry.
Yeah, Kerry! Our pal!
It gives the president and John Kerry the chance to require a new permit and a new environmental review. We all heard President Obama talk about climate change in his inaugural address. He spent more time on it than any other issue. He declared that a failure to act would betray our children and future generations. This pipeline project, the tar sands fight, more broadly, keeping tar sands in the ground, that's at the core of the climate fight. But the only way that President Obama can stick his neck out on this issue and require a new permit and a new process is if we all give him reason to do so, that we speak out so loudly that he responds.
Portland area Congresswoman Shelley Pingree made a vow to locals and out-of-staters at the rally.
Damaging storms like Katrina and Hurricane Sandy, and right here in Maine when the lobster shed 6 weeks earlier than normal, tells us the ocean is warming too fast, something that's going to cost us lives and jobs and our economic future and possibly the future of this earth. We have a lot of work ahead of us to develop renewable energy. We have a lot of work to do to make sure we end our dependence on carbon fuels and offshore oil, reversing the flow of the Portland pipeline so tar sands oil can be delivered to Portland Harbor would pose serious environmental risks. And I, on behalf of my constituents in Maine, am going to ask the Obama administration to do a full environmental review of any attempts to pump tar sands to that old pipeline.
Jason Brown, a member of the Penobscot Tribe of Maine, brought participants into a circle dance to end the rally, signifying, he said, that caring for the earth is everyone's responsibility. For Between the Lines, I'm Melinda Tuhus in Portland, Maine.